It's time for us now to turn our attention to our daily focus for the week. We've been given guidance and perspective by Foster Chiwanda. This is a pastor who has been with us for quite some time. And for this particular program, he has given us the benefit of his insights. And we're ever so grateful to him for coming through to talk to us and teach us and take our questions and help us. These pastors, you know, I appreciate pastors who are patient with us to come and answer questions. And so he joins us again for us to get into the last episode of our daily focus about the Christian community. And today we're talking about the community challenges and overcoming them. Pastor Chiwanda, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much once again for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, and how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much, Pastor. Are you well?
I'm quite well.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. Let's
thank you so much.
Let's jump in, Mfundisi. Let's jump right in. So what are some of these community challenges that, or common community challenges that Christian communities face in terms of attendance and participation in church activities?
Yeah, actually, when you have groups, communities that must engage and share different aspects of their life, the religious life, the Christian life, the faith, fellowship, and service, you find that the attendance part of it becomes a big challenge. Mm. And usually it is because there is not much that is interesting, that is attracting, that is beneficial in the rating of the members of the communities. Mm. If a community has something that is attracting for them to attend, for them to participate, they will always come. Mm. But when you see that there is a dropping in the engagement, there is a dropping in the attendance,
right,
it is a message that what is happening there is dry.
Okay.
Is dry.
Dry in what sense?
It doesn't really give them the kind of benefit that would make them come back.
Okay.
Come back.
Okay. So
yes.
So,
yes.
So would you be able content, to explain what deliver, dry means?
Content. Hello?
Can you explain what you mean by dry? Dry in what sense? What does dry mean in this case?
What I mean by dry there is that you want me to attend an engagement. You want me to attend an activity.
Mm.
But in the activity, nothing will help me. Nothing will help me in the activity. Let's say, help me socially, help me physically, help me, maybe even help me spiritually or even materially.
And this is a church gathering?
Yes, it must be that. The church must do that.
So what?
The church
must
be able to must be able to equip people to become useful in society.
To
make money.
My question, Mfundisi, is: do we find church gatherings? People go to church on a Sabbath, and they walk away saying it's dry because they didn't get anything. There was nothing beneficial on a church on a Sabbath. They prepare Sabbath school lesson.
Going to church on Sabbath.
I'm saying when are there people who would go to church during Sabbath school?
There now. Maybe I didn't understand what it meant, because if you are talking about a church going to church on Sabbath,
right?
Then there is Jesus there,
right?
And why should they not attend?
Right.
Why should they not attend?
Right.
Then the challenge is not in the church.
Right.
The challenge is with the people.
Absolutely.
The members.
Absolutely.
Yes, the challenge is with the members. So if you are talking about the challenge with the members, then the challenge with the members could be spiritual.
Yeah.
Spiritual in the first place, behavioral, or even to say the fact, hermatological.
Yeah. Because, Mfundisi, you'll see...
You notice
that, Mfundisi, that we would call pastors as elders, we would call pastors and outline a problem of members who know church starts at 9 or 9:30, but they never arrive at 9:30. because there is Sabbath school lesson there, the Sabbath school presentation there. They're not interested in that. They only arrive when during that time we call divine service. So people start trickling into church and filling up the church when there's going to be the song service and then the divine service. And then there are people who don't even pitch for the afternoon service. People don't pitch for the Wednesday services. People don't pitch for the Friday services.
Probably there now we can come back and say there is an issue of monotony.
Okay. Explain for this. Go ahead.
The programs are a little bit monotonous. Monotonous in the sense that he knows that he has been doing the quarterly. If you are talking about, because when if you are doing the quarterly, you have been doing it during the week. You have been discussing with your friends on social media. Mm. You have a lot of quarterly in your mind. You have a lot of quarterly there. And you know that when you come to church tomorrow, it's just an issue of quarterly. After quarterly, you go to the service. But if you go to the church manual says that the order of service is not supposed to be rigid. It's not supposed to be rigid. Mm. It's not supposed to be always like that.
Mm.
It's not supposed to be always like that. So because we have gone into a monotony of saying, this is what happens, this is what happens, this is what happens. Some people sit down and say, what else do I want there? If I can sit here and read my Bible and be enriched by the Holy Spirit. So there must be a way of sitting down and saying, okay, fine, this is how we run our church. But why today can't we put something like this?
Right.
Can't we put something like this?
Right.
Can't we put something like this? Can't we reorganize, reorder this thing? Can't we just change, remove all that thing and put this today as a service in the church so that people can see the difference and can say, the church today, church today, if it can be like that next week, I'll go again, I'll come again.
Yeah.
They can make a story. If each Sabbath should be a story, each church day should be a story that they will want you to repeat the other day.
Hey.
But when it's like it's like just as dry as rigid, because dry also means the sermons can be very dry. You get into church, you have done the Sabbath school, you're now waiting for the preaching. The person who comes to preach, he doesn't tell me anything.
You know,
he tells me everything that I know already. He tells me everything that I already know, everything what he is saying is all that I know. So why should I be coming to a place where I'm not taught something new?
So
you
for
mean
this,
the Bible. You mean the Bible. The Bible can't be a new book every day. Can't be a new book every week.
I've heard this argument, I need you to help me understand.
You want me to listen to a story I already know. Why don't you tell me what Jesus is saying to my heart in that sermon? So the sermon also must be challenged to have content that is attractive, content that is enriching to the spiritual lives of the people.
Yeah, I hear you, Prince, and I'm very excited to hear this coming from a pastor. So we have the very same people who would attend lectures, and those lectures they are dry. There's no entertainment. There's no nuance. It's just a textbook as it is, and they go and attend there, and they know because they are learning something from the lecturer, and they are learning something. This is something they have to apply in their careers. We appreciate what we get from our lecturers at varsity and at high school, but when we come to our spiritual lecture rooms, we want to be entertained. And we know we learn these things, but we never employ them or never use them in our actual lives. And I'm wondering, how foolish could we be that we don't take value in the dry lessons on Sabbath, but we take value in the weekly lessons from the lecture rooms, and we take notes, even though the lecture is boring. We know we've got the textbook, we've got the manuals, we read the same thing. It's boring ad nauseam, but we go and attend and we want to learn it. We want to learn Bimfundisi because we know when I finally become a journalist, I need to know this. If I'm going to be a lawyer, I need to know this. If I'm going to be a doctor, I need to, even though the lecturer is boring and dry. Why can't we look at our sermons in that way? The lessons, the spiritual lessons that make us better people. Why can't we look at them in the same way?
I mentioned to you that there is an issue of spirituality, the spiritual state of the members of the churches is low. The spiritual state is low. The connection with Jesus is deplorable. It's deplorable. That's why I used the word hamartology, which is sin. Sin. Sin is rampant. When sin is rampant, when sin is accommodated in our lives, it saps the spirituality. It removes the power of the Holy Spirit from us. Yeah, sin is something that just discourages me. Sin is just something that discourages me, and if I were a tire, then sin just comes and removes all the air from that tire, and I'm deflated. So most of the members are not living right. Even us pastors, some of us, most of us are not living right. We are concentrating on worldly things. So by the time we come to the pulpit there, we are dry in the pulpit.
Okay. Oh, maybe Mfundisi should invite you for us to talk about this concept of dry sermons.
Yeah, some sermons are too dry, my friend.
I hear you, Mfundisi. That's why I'm saying not now. Maybe I should invite you for a longer discussion for us to unpack this concept of a dry sermon. Let me just continue. Before we conclude, Mfundisi, I think, we're running out of time now. So how do Christian communities adapt to changing demographics and cultural shifts that may impact their relevance and appeal so that they are not dry?
I found that particular question very deep and difficult to answer.
Okay.
Because the changing demographics are sociological, isn't it?
Yes.
And the cultural shifts are also sociological.
Right.
They are happening both inside the church and outside the church.
Yeah.
And impacting relevance and appeal there also. You find that my thinking, when I saw this question, I was thinking that we needed to have something better than just a church board.
Right.
The church board handles administration of the church, evangelism, and so on. But we probably need another inside committee, which is a think tank for the church, just to monitor what is happening outside and inside our church in terms of demographics, and monitor what is happening outside and inside in terms of culture, and then begin to think in lines of brainstorming as to how these changes would impact or are impacting us, and then begin to strategize and recommend to the church that we are looking at what is happening. For example, if you take the issue in South Africa, in America, where there is a bit of racism in our church still there, you find that when church people that are of a different color come into a certain place, the ones who own that church, they will flee away. They will go away.
Right.
They will leave the new ones who came with their darker colors. They will remain in that church.
Yes.
But these guys will now go and attend church in territorially in their homes while they are building a new church to accommodate the lighter color there. So you see that kind of cultural demographic racist kind of thing. It is something that we should be able to sit down and begin to talk about it before it happens.
Right.
Or while it is happening.
And
who are there to sit and discuss that?
Right.
The church board can't discuss that. The conference meetings, the executives are busy with the evangelism thing, and they're not looking at the behaviors and demographics and the cultural issues.
Right. I hear you. So finally, go ahead, please.
There must be a think tank in each and every church. You are here to think about what is happening in the world around us, very near around us and also far from us. You are also here to look at what is happening within the church. And as you look, please consider this, and brainstorm as to what are the advantages, disadvantages, what are the What are the impacts and so on? And people will create an environment which is going to be acceptable and in which people will be approachable and accepting. And this demographic and all other racist elements, they can be ruled out by discussing them while we are there positively, discussing them positively before we begin to condemn one another.
Got it. Mfundis, our time is up. I'm going to leave it right there. Thank you very much for your time once again, Mfundis. I'm always blessed by your insight. Please accept my invitation so that we can talk about the issue of the sermons. I'll call you and see when we can do that. Is that okay, Mfundis?
God bless you. That will be great for me and for our God.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Mfundis. That is Pastor Foster Chiwanda talking to us about the problems some communities find and some challenges and how to overcome them. Very interesting idea of having a think tank. I wonder if there's something that can be posited there at the General Conference so that all the churches can have this as a solution.